Amen. And thank you, Jan Majera, for joining us and for blessing us the way that you always do.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to share today. I've been actually really excited about a topic recently, and I'm calling it Seek and You Will Find. And it's about, I've been just kind of meditating on a lot of times people talk about seeking your face, or and especially from Psalm 27, verse 4, there's that wonderful verse about how we can respond to when the Lord says, seek my face. I say, Lord, your face I seek. But I've been thinking about it, and I've been wondering, okay, how exactly do I do that? And there's a lot of wonderful, wonderful teachings about the secret place and going to be quiet and having a special time where we can go into God's presence, because that's basically what seeking your face is to go into God's presence. But first of all, I want to read the New Living Translation, the NLT, of Psalm 27, because this is the start of what I want to share here. And so it's verse 4. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. So now, this is Psalms, right? So David was talking about the real temple, but who's the temple now? Us, right? We're the temple. So if we're talking about meditating in your temple, then that has an element of talking about the church this day, in today's time. But the next verse, in verse 8, is the one about seeking your face. And this translation says, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. So that just started me on this quest to say, Lord, I want to talk to you, and I want you to see my heart, and I want to pour it out to you, but I don't know how to do it. I know some things about, you know, I can speak in tongues, I can talk to you, I can tell you my troubles, all this stuff. But I want to say, Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming. I want to come more. I want to be where, if I seek you, then I'm going to find you, and I'm going to find the things that I need in my life. So how do we do that? There are actually two different Hebrew words, excuse me, that rhyme. And the first one is called bakash, B-A-Q-A-S-H. And the second one is darash, D-A-R-A-S-H. Bakash and darash. And between them, I think they're used like over 380 times, something like that. So it's this whole concept in the Old Testament even is huge about seeking the Lord. So I wanted to know what the difference was between these two words, and why do you need two words to say the same thing if they mean the same thing? So they are very similar, but and they both have the idea of getting close to something, but they do have some differences. And so I want to look at a few verses that show the differences. And by doing that, we'll see how to seek him and some of the keys about what we should seek. So bakash, if you want to write it down, it's Strong's number 1245. That means to seek to find something, like, or to take hold of something, like to actually take hold of it. So you go towards something so that you can actually grasp it. Darash is the Strong's number 1875, and it has more of the idea of to search or investigate something, inquire about something, ask what we would say in light of asking. So you're seeking to inquire or investigate something. And so bakash with the B is the one that's used with seeking your face, like seek the presence, seek it so you can find something. But darash is used when it's about what you should seek, like how you should seek and what should you inquire about. So I want to show you a verse where they're used together, and that's Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29. And I'm going to read mostly from the ESV today. So verse 29 says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul." So you see a word seek, or you see the word search, and you should go, okay, which one is it here? Is it something that I should seek God's presence, or is there something I should inquire about? So the first one is bakash, which is to seek something so you can take hold of it. From there, you will seek the Lord your God. So you will seek his presence. You will seek to grab a hold of who he is, the Lord your God. And you will find him. If you seek to be in his presence, you will find him. Isn't that a wonderful promise? It's not like he's going, oh no, I don't want to talk to you. And even more now that we are sons and daughters of God, if we seek him, we will find him. If we seek to be in his presence, we will find him. And then it goes on, though, to say, if you go about this, if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. And that's the other word. It's darash. So not only will we find God in his presence, but if we start asking him things, inquiring, investigating with all our heart and with all our soul, guess what? He's going to answer it. So we not only get to be in his presence, but then we get to have everything that God is, how good he is, how faithful he is, how he's the one that has all the wisdom and all the answers, which we're going to see in just a couple minutes here. So those are the two words used together. And now here's another one. It's Psalm 105 and let's just read verse 1-4. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. There's the seeking his presence, see? And one of the ways you can seek God's face or be in his presence is to sing, give thanks, praise, all these wonderful things that it's talking about there, right? Those who seek the Lord, who seek to be in his presence, rejoice. But now, this is cool. Verse 4 changes. And it says, seek the Lord and his strength. Well, that's a different word. That's the darash word. So seek the Lord and his strength. So right there, it tells us that there is something we can inquire about. It's not just praising all day long and, you know, the whole idea of worship and everything is all really awesome, you know, raising your hands and thanking God and telling about his wondrous works and all these great things. But then it turns around and says, okay, after you do that, and when you are in his presence, then seek the Lord and his strength. Like, well, what's God's strength? And then that's a Hebrew word that's pronounced Oz. And it's actually where the Wizard of Oz came from. Is, you know, the whole story of the Wizard of Oz was that he had this Emerald City and he was behind the curtain with how great he was, and everybody would come to try to get his opinion about things. And he was the wizard, even though it turned out that he was not strong after all, right? But his name was Wizard of Oz. And this kind of strength is the kind of strength that God has, where he solves things and he has answers for stuff. So when you think about the Wizard of Oz, you can think about that Hebrew word. But then the rest of the verse in verse 4 says, seek his presence or his face continually. So there's the other word again, bakash. Seek his face or seek his presence. So we can't do one without the other. Do you see that? And if you just studied one of those words, you would get a skewed idea of what it means to seek God's face only. It's kind of like a relationship with someone, you know, and if you were sitting across the table from someone, and all you did was tell them, I love you, I love you, I praise you, you're so great, I'm so thankful for you. And you were happy to be in that person's presence, but you never actually talked to them. I mean, to find out, like, what are they thinking? What do they want to do? What's going on in their hearts? See, it would be a one-sided thing. And there's nothing wrong with the praise part of it at all. That's completely wonderful, but it's only one-sided. And if you want to have a relationship with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ, then it has to be both. There has to be a communication back and forth between each other. And so the question becomes then, like, what do you talk about? what should you investigate? Or what should you ask about? Here's one more verse, is Psalm 40, where it's this idea of seeking God's face is used. Verse 16. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord! And the Lord is magnified. And so that part of it, it's really important. And so please don't get me wrong that I'm negating that at all. I started out with the idea of wanting to know what does it mean to seek your face and how should I go about doing it? I love the praise and worship. I love the thankfulness and just sometimes even just sitting in God's presence and listening then to his heart when he says, you know, I love you, my child. And that just, it just melts your heart, right? And gives you so much, to live for. Just that alone. But there is more to it. See, like I said, it would be just sort of like if you were staring at someone and telling them that you love them over and over and over again, but you never actually talk to them about things. So the other word, darish, gives us some specific things to what we should inquire God about. And so the first one I want to look at is Psalm 34. Psalm 34 is really wonderful. But verse 4, it says, I sought darish, the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So when we go to God and then we start talking to him and asking him things, then guess what? He answers. He answered me. And part of what he answered me was he delivered me from all my fears. And I can totally tell you this big long testimony of how that happened to me, you know, going through all these surgeries and stuff like that. And I'm so thankful for all of your prayers and for how I felt like I was surrounded not only by God's love, but I was surrounded by your prayers and by prayers of people, even that I didn't know at all. And God rescued me. He answered me, and he told me things about why it had happened and what was going to continue to happen and how long it would take and things like that, so that I could be comforted. And the thing that happens when we get answers like that in our lives, and I know a lot of you have gotten answers similar to those things, not necessarily even about health, but about something that you were praying about. And God delivers us from our fears. He delivers us from the things that are the what ifs, you know. Well, what if I never get rid of this thing? You know, what if I have to have more procedures done? What if, you know, those have a tendency to just go round and round and round and round in our brains. We go, stop, wait, I'm going to go into God's presence, but then I'm going to ask him and just sit with him and tell him, I need to know some answers here. And I need to be delivered from this whole what if scenario thing. And God is faithful. He is a faithful Father. And he, like it said before that we read, he will answer. He always answers us. We don't have to wonder whether he will or not. He will, if we just sit quiet enough to hear and go, okay, I'm listening, Father. I want to hear your voice. I want to understand what it is that you have for me. So that's the first thing he tells us to inquire about, is answers we need in our lives. The second thing is later on in Psalm 34, verse 14. It says, turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That is the same word, darash, seek peace. So it's not like, oh, I just want to be in your presence and that'll give me peace. It's, I need to inquire about peace, about wholeness, about completeness. That's the word shalom, where it has everything to do with being complete and whole in our lives. I want to inquire to God about that. Like, okay, what is going to make me whole here? There are some areas in my life that are not so whole and complete, like it, your word promises. So I'm going to pursue that. And then verse 15 goes on and says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord, again, there's the presence of the Lord, is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. But when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. So again, here's another promise. See, that if we go to him and inquire about how do I get peace in my life and come to this understanding of wholeness and what that is, then he will deliver us from all our troubles. And, you know, I don't think there's anybody who's immune from troubles. Do you know anybody? You know, do you really know anybody who's just had a perfect life where they never had any troubles? I know. And yet, I know that all my life, God has been faithful. Sometimes I just like choke all up and stuff and think about, I'm going to be 70 years old and all my life, God has been faithful. He's never, ever left me. And the thing that's so cool and why I wanted to share this topic today is that when we cry out to him and we ask him to teach us things about something we really want to learn, he's faithful with that too. He's faithful to show us. So, Jan, you want to know about seeking? Here, let me show you. You have to ask about certain things. So, like, okay, I'm going to ask about peace. Here's another one. And that's wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. This, I just love this passage. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek, there's darish. If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk in integrity. And it goes on and tells you even more about it, but there's like a progression here of how to seek. First of all, you receive my words and treasure them. That's verse 1. Then you make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. It's like, I want this. I really would like to know whatever it is you need to know. And yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, go, I really want to know what this is about, Lord. Tell me. I don't get it myself. See, that's the third part of it there, is that you acknowledge that if you don't have the wisdom in your own brain. We don't. It only comes from God and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Corinthians, it talks about how he's made unto us wisdom, right? So we have wisdom in that Holy Spirit gift that we have inside of us. So if you seek for it like silver, and that's where in the old way that they used to seek for silver, they didn't just blow up a mountain and then, you know, get all the silver out of it. They had to follow a vein. And if they saw some silver on the surface, it would have to dig down and follow it and follow it and follow it. And sometimes it would get to the place where there wasn't any more silver. So now what do I do? You know, it's still about following the vein. It's like, oh, did it turn? Did it go this way? Which way does that go? See, that's part of the searching and the inquiring, is if we come up against a wall and we don't have an answer and we don't know which way to go, we still seek for it as silver and search for it like it's hidden treasure. So maybe the answer is hidden right now, but it's not hidden from God. So he's the source of all the hidden treasures. And so you start calling out, hey, I need this. I don't understand. Please help me. And then you stop and listen. Go, oh, that's what you were trying to tell me. It's over in this direction. Not the one I was looking at. The one I was looking at didn't go anywhere. See? But the one that he has and was pointing to, then you start following that vein, seeking it like silver, and you find the hidden treasure. You find the answer you need. You find the peace that you need. You find the wisdom that you need. And from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So it's not just wisdom either. There's knowledge, which is what to do. There's understanding, so that we get the whole scope of things and stuff. Like one of the things I cried out to God about, which I won't tell you the whole story, but I cried out to him about, why did this happen to me? You know, all my life I've been really healthy, and, you know, other than a little cold here and there or whatever, I just never have had anything. So like, why? The question, why? That is a really hard one to get an answer to. But I asked him and I said, why did this happen? And then I just sat there. I go, look, I am not moving and I'm not going to guess anymore about why did this happen to me. And pretty soon after I got quiet enough and was just set on, I'm going to seek this, and this is what I'm going to get the answer from you, then he told me. And he told me some really specific things that I needed to do. And they're really simple. And it was not a big deal. And it wasn't like, oh, there's something wrong with you. You did this and this and this and that. Because that's what I was thinking, that I had done something wrong. And he said, no, you didn't do anything wrong. This is the way the old bird adversary works. You know, he tries to get you to think that you're less than something because something happened to you. And it's not true. But what is true is this, this, and this, and this. And so he really did unfold to me the things that I needed to change in my life. And since I've started to incorporate those, I am so free. I can't even begin to tell you how awesome it is. And so then that issues in this thankfulness thing again. So you're praising and thanking, and then, oh yeah, but I also need another answer over here. So this works. It's like, can be a continuous process that we can do. Okay, there's one more I wanted to show you. It's Zephaniah chapter 2. And this goes along with a lot of the verses in the New Testament too about seek, even though they're not the same word either in Greek or Aramaic. But Matthew 6:33, you know, about seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So those verses, you can take what I'm sharing today, and every time you read it in the New Testament, just think, okay, which one is this, God? Am I supposed to be just praising you and being in your presence, or do you want me to ask something and inquire about it? And if I do need to inquire, what is it I need to even inquire? Not to just have this blanket why questions or how questions that are unending, but start with really simple things and then seek for it like silver. So Zephaniah 2 verse 3 says, seek the Lord, that's darish, you know. So seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, who do his just commands. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden on the day of the anger of the Lord. So the context of that verse is about the day of the Lord. But the prophet is telling the people, one of the things you need to ask about is righteousness. And the other one is humility. Because those who are humble are the ones who will hear and will get the deliverance. That's about grace too, like humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will lift you up, from 1 Peter. God gives grace to the humble. So one of the things we need to inquire about is, where should I be humble? Where do I need to be humble? What do I need to be humble about? Colossians 3 verse 1 also has a wonderful verse I thought I'd mention. If then you have been raised with Christ, that's verse 1, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Okay, so let's apply this, what we learned, to this verse in Colossians. Because it's not distinguishing whether I should just be in God's presence and bask in that and thankfulness, etc., or I should start asking questions. But I think a lot of the verses in the New Testament combine the two. So when it says, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Well, he's seated next to the right hand of God, and spiritually he is complete. So seek the things of the Spirit. So that sometimes means sitting and just speaking in tongues. Sometimes it means seeking the will of the Spirit, of the wisdom of the Spirit, of the answers of the Spirit, of the peace of the Spirit. See, all these things that I told you about that came from the Old Testament are also things that we need to seek because we live in the new. And we can seek humility and God's righteousness. I go, He gave us righteousness, right? So how can you seek it? Well, you seek it to have it come to pass in your life. And if I have shame or guilt or condemnation or any other thing, that's not righteousness, right? So I need to get rid of those things, and that's where I need God's wisdom. That's where you seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right, at the right hand of God. And the heavenly places are the spiritual answers that we need in our lives. The last one it says to seek about is God's word, and there's lots of verses about that. But Psalm 119 has a bunch of them. And so I just wanted to read one, which is verse 45. It says, "And I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I have darish, I have inquired about your precepts or your word. I've inquired about your word." And see, when we inquire about something, like when I started out, I said, I want to know how to seek your face. It was a question. And then, bam, here, God just lays out all these things. And I know there's even more, because if I studied it tomorrow, I would learn something else. But I'm just sharing you what I've learned so far. And it's just so exciting to me, because it says, I will walk in a wide place. We're not going to have to walk in a narrow, crooked, little, tiny thing where you can't ever figure out where to walk. It's a wide place where there's God's answers, and He's a faithful Father, and He never withholds His wisdom, ever. So if we can't hear it, this is a really good point here, see. If you can't hear an answer, then you're not asking the right question. So you need to change the question and cry out and go, I don't even know what question to ask. So help me ask the right question. Like I was explaining before about my sickness, I didn't even know what to ask. But then finally God said, you should ask why this happened to you and how it came about. Not just a general why, like, why did you have to do this to me? No, you know, not like that. But how? Other questions like how, what, where, with whom? Those are the things to change our questions to. And I've said this to a lot of different people sometimes when it seemed like, you know, there's a phrase like all heaven is as brass, you know, like you can't hear a thing. And you go, well, Father, I know that you talked to me, and I know you have talked to me in many, many cases. How come I can't hear this now? I go, oh, you're not asking the right question. If you ask the question that I can actually answer, then you're going to get a whole bunch of silver. You're going to find the treasure. You're going to find the hidden treasures. So let's go back to Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing, this is the ESV now. One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, the Bakash, I will seek God's presence after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. And that word inquire is a little bit different word, but it has the same idea as inquiring or asking in God's temple. So I had said, what is the temple now? It's the church. It's our body. The body of Christ is the temple. So when we want to be in God's presence and seek after his face, then you go into the temple, the body, the community that we have, the family we have, and you inquire there too, where we can help each other and we can help steer, you know, each other through these different things, not only with our prayers of like for health or for answers, but to really sit down with people and say, hey, how can I help you? I don't have the wisdom, but I know the God who does. So let's seek it together. Let's seek for the answers that we need together. And that's what God wants, is he wants us to live as a family. So not only are we not just sitting across the table from God and saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. It's the same thing with other people. You can say, I love you, but then you don't help each other. You're not there for each other, or you just don't listen to what's going on. And I'm not saying you, and don't take it like I'm accusing anybody, because I have done this over and over too. But I have realized that if I go to the family and be honest with saying, I have a need, because I did that. I went to you guys and I said, I have a need. And everyone, there was no person who was condemning or saying how stupid I was. Why did that happen to you? Every single person who I realized just loves me and cares about me rallied around with saying, I can help you. Oh, I can come do this. Here, what about that? And so I wanted to end with a verse in the New Testament. It's 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. It's talking about the manifestations, because that's where our source of wisdom is. It's we have the Spirit within us. And so we don't have to go to an earthly temple at the hours of prayer and beg God to talk to us. He is closer than our very breath. And he will pour out all the manifestations of the Spirit and whatever we need in the body. So verse 12 says, this is from the Aramaic translation. Likewise also, because you're zealous of the gifts of the Spirit, so that's another thing to pursue, you know, to be zealous about the things of the Spirit, seek to excel for the building up of the church. So we can do these things that I've been talking about this morning for ourselves. And it's a wonderful relationship that we can have with our Father and with our Lord Jesus Christ. But we can also do the same thing. Seek the presence of each other, but also inquire and ask and investigate. Like, what kind of wisdom do you need? Let me pray for that for you too. And if I have some understanding, or I have a passage from the Word that we could go to together, we can share these things together. And God will energize that as we desire to know his wisdom. So we can seek answers from him. We can seek peace. We can seek wisdom. We can seek his righteousness. All having a humble heart, but we can seek it like silver and find the hidden treasures that he has, not only for me, but for all of us together in the church. So that's what I wanted to share this morning.